Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Today we have a great revenge story against a terrible roommate. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, my date blew me off for not buying him sushi. I got $400 omakase instead. Hi, so there was this event at a bar that I was planning to go to this weekend, and I asked this guy to be my date that night as I don't like being alone in crowded, unfamiliar places. At first, he seemed quite enthusiastic as he messaged me a lot about it. One time, he casually mentioned how expensive going out in New York City has become, which is true, by the way. I went, no worry, I'll pick up the tab and we'll have a good time. I genuinely did not think of it as a big deal, since I'm not the most frugal person in the world. So the night before our supposed date, I wanted to confirm everything and messaged him that, well, we can also grab something to eat beforehand. What kind of food do you like? He got back to me saying there's a sushi place in Queens he wants to try. Initially, I struck this as being bizarre, as the bar is in the West Village and if we do what he wants, I'd have to forfeit most of the night to be in Queens. And the only reason why we're even hanging out is because I wanted to go to this bar. So I made a logical response, suggesting we could get something else near the bar. He became unresponsive. When I pressed for a confirmation from him for the itinerary, he said he needed to think about it. At this point, I'd realized he really takes me for a meal ticket. He's trying to get me capitulated to his demands, as it's already Friday night and I'm running out of options of people still free and available, which as matter of fact I was. He really derailed my plan, and I pulled out my phone and booked myself a $400 17-course omakase at a very nice place in the village. I had a blast with the insanely delicious meal, and I posted the picture of the sushi to my Instagram stories. He messaged me later, claiming he's sorry and he got busy with family, blah blah blah. I blocked him immediately. I mean, it's kind of a cliche that people tend to be free to do things when the meal is too. It's kind of crazy that this guy would try to be so picky and choosy when all they had to do was just be good company. Heathen Jesus wrote, "Wow, so the dude got asked out, didn't have to pay, and still blew it. That's just sad." Also, hi, I'm Steven, and if you guys enjoy awesome stories of revenge, it would be amazing if you left a like or left a review if you're listening to my podcast. That said, our next story is 85-year-old lady sticking it to the man. There's a big new apartment complex going up in the middle of the historic district of town where my sister-in-law lives. It's ugly, loud, has entirely inadequate parking, and is generally hated by everyone who lives in the cute old houses around it. My sister-in-law mentioned today that her neighbor, a salty 85-year-old lesbian with an outsized personality, uses humane rat and mouse traps in the alley behind the corner grocery store and releases anything she finds at the new apartment complex. Don't let anyone tell you you're too old to do your part. When you've caught and released enough of these mice and rats in this apartment complex, it would be so great to hear about them going on like some anonymous tip line and calling in a report about this apartment complex being overrun by mice and rats. Beautiful Phantom One wrote, "Dang, there is a neighbor I would love to do that to after 16 years of harassment, but I'm hoping my son can buy the house when it goes on the market, so I'll refrain." Our next story is, I was a bullied kid and now feels kind of good to see the people who made my high school years heck have a bad life. Well, not sure if this will be removed because I actually didn't take any action on their apparent bad luck today, or because this just sounds like me being a jerk, but couldn't think of anywhere else to post. I was made fun of because of my teeth not being straight, because of my big nose, because someone saw my drunk dad around on weekends and that was a joke, because teachers liked me, because I lived really far from school, because I didn't have money to buy much during lunch, or because if my shoes or backpack were still fine, I would use them the next school year as well because we were broke. You name it, I had it. Even some people I thought I was being friends with would eventually join whoever was the coolest kid around in making me feel like crap. And I know we were kids. This doesn't mean these people are bad people still today. I don't know them, but I was a kid too, and I wasn't a freaking bully. I was always the youngest of my class because my country allows people to skip grades. So I graduated high school at 14. Fast forward, I'm 26 now. I live in a small city and work for a manufacturing company who is the biggest employer of the region. So naturally, people I know end up working there since there's a lot of people. I was recently promoted and now make like 7 times the average salary of my country, own a decent car that's paid in full, about to graduate from my master's, am saving to buy a house, have good friends, go on weekend getaways a couple times a year, and am a happy person. The other day at work, a new operator, she was in training, so new employee, stopped me to say hi and was one of the people who hurt me. The one thing I remember she used to say was, "Poor OP, let's all raise funds so we can get her teeth fixed." I remember her thing was saying, "Poor OP," in a condescending way and laughing. She also a couple times stole my backpack and hid it in a bathroom trash can. There's something so insulting on people saying, "Poor you," because of something you don't even consider a relevant problem in the moment, and it's a problem only because they made it like that about my teeth. She's pregnant, her third pregnancy, started college for a humanities degree that she didn't complete, is a single mom of 2 other kids, and has jumped from manufacturing company to manufacturing company after she left college. This is minimum wage in my country. That's like $400 US monthly. I've met other people from high school over the years, and same case. One of them even went to jail for hitting his wife and kid. I'm having a great life, and it's not based on other people having a bad one, and this perhaps makes me a bad person, and I know I can fall too, or make bad decisions, and I don't know, maybe in her mind, this girl is super happy with her life, and bunch of kids and salary, I don't know. But I know if my decisions ever make me pull the short stick, I won't have people pleased with my bad luck as I am with theirs, because I'm not a freaking bully, and I don't damage people intentionally for fun as these jerks did. Guess the conclusion here is, bad years don't last forever. High school is just a phase, and being the queen bee in high school doesn't mean a successful life. Driving to high school in a cute car or having a lot of money for lunch or being successful in high school doesn't mean that's for life. Just as being the rug everyone steps on doesn't mean you're going to be it forever. When you come face to face with these people who were nothing but horrible people to you when you were growing up, I can't blame OP for seeing those people and having some level of satisfaction seeing that they weren't the top dog forever. And let's be real, most people who are obsessed with being queen bee or top dog or bullies in high school, are those people not some of the most likely to absolutely fall right on their butt when real life hits them? Either that or for some reason they manage to weasel their way to a level of success they never should have even have gotten to. Jean's Harry Mall wrote,
"Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod. My sisters were my bullies. Their years of being queen bees, ruling the group and doing whatever they wanted, really, really shows. They are still nasty, gossipy benches. Their friends are falling away. Their family has stopped seeing them. All that's left is wine and rascal scooters. Our next story is The Waiting Game, A Buyer's Revenge. About 2 years ago, I wanted to buy some stuff for my daughter from an online listing. I agreed with the seller on a price, and we set up a meeting for me to pick up the items. But just before the meeting, the seller texted me saying he sold the items to someone else at a higher price. I was pretty ticked off because we had agreed on a deal, and I had made arrangements to meet him. Just to mess with him, I told him I'd actually be willing to pay a higher amount, and he agreed to sell me the products again. We arranged to meet at a subway station to do the deal, and 5 minutes after the agreed time, I texted him to say I'd be a little late. 15 minutes later, I said I was almost there, just about 10 minutes away. I kept texting him similar messages for over an hour, asking him to wait for me and that I'd be there soon. Obviously, I was at home the whole time, so after about 90 minutes of making him wait at the subway, I texted him saying I found the same items cheaper elsewhere, and that I wouldn't be coming after all. I don't think he understood the move, but it felt good anyway. I heard a number of similar stories, but the setup had usually been that the person who was trying to buy the thing, OP in this case, would actually travel to and go to the arranged pickup place and waste all their time and money and effort, and really it was kind of just a just desserts turning it back around on them. If I were OP, I don't think I would personally go to the effort of doing all this and trying to waste their time, but I definitely would daydream about it. TazDevil64 wrote, I had this tried on me last week. I was there to pick something up, and his roommate came out and told him he'd give him $10 more. I told him I was already there, and if he tried this, I'd make it my life's mission to get him kicked out of all selling sites. Needless to say, I got what I came for. Our Lamaze teacher was a savage. 21 years ago, my mother-in-law signed my wife and I up for a Lamaze class. We were both early 20s and expecting our first child in a few months. While I'm 100% faithful, it did not escape my attention that the instructor was fine as heck. Even my wife said, dang, under her breath. Girl was a spot-on match for Wolf of Wall Street Margot Robbie. She absolutely infuriated many people by telling them minute one that having a child is not an excuse to gain and keep weight afterward. Instantly offended women pounced on her, saying they're eating for two and what does a 21-year-old Barbie know about this stuff? Instructor calmly replied that eating for two is a myth and excuse, not reality. She explained that at most you're eating for 1.1, and that a massive change in dietary habits is not excusable or necessary. Obviously, that did not go over well to many in the class. They basically ridiculed her looks, youth, and inexperience every week. On the final day, there was a knock on the door at the last minute of class. 5 little blonde youngsters came in. Instructor looked the rudest, also biggest, no coincidence, lady in her eye and said, these are my babies. They're 2, 4, 6, 7, and 9. I'm 30 and a registered nurse and I run 6 miles daily. Thank you for taking my class and go enjoy your giant dinner and dessert. Then she walked out, smiling the sweetest smile on her way out with them. My wife busted out laughing like a hyena. I thought we were gonna get jumped by 10 angry pregnant women, which got me crying laughing at the absurdity of the idea, especially explaining it to our parents. Thankfully, we didn't. Our son was born 3 weeks later, and our awesome instructor happened to be our nurse that day, and she was in the room for every minute of it. Anyway, to this day, that giant dinner line was the best mic drop moment I've ever witnessed. And our instructor is one of our closest friends. Our son is actually dating her youngest daughter, number 6 for her, and yes, she's still a knockout. Final thing, nurses are freaking heroes. Our actual doctor was in the room for maybe 15 minutes. Jennifer was by our side for 8 straight hours and even showed up at our house to check on us. She also wholly admitted that she planned that mic drop the second she heard the dumb Barbie comment, and that her fashion choice of a tight tank top and leggings that day was definitely not a coincidence. Edit, the amount of pure hate she's getting in the comments for literally reading from accredited medical sources is stunning. No offense, but I'm betting some of you are taking out your own personal issues on her. Do yourself a favor and never hire a personal trainer. If you think a nurse was evil for being honest, you wouldn't survive 5 minutes with a PT. Seriously, sometimes people will tell you no, deal with it. Had she not been attractive, I guarantee you nobody would have complained as much. She was the one being shamed for looks, as crazy as that might sound. Play dumb if you choose, but a lot of you know exactly what I mean. She was getting crossed arms and snobbish looks the second she walked in. She had no chance. The biggest jerk was berating her husband for staring. Insecurity is not an attractive quality, people. All I'm going to say is I have no idea about pregnancy, I have no idea on whether or not eating for two is a real thing or not, and whether or not my medical professional is attractive or not. If I was ever in a situation where I did need to know anything like that, I think I would just listen to what they have to say. Joe402 wrote, "Eating for two is a real thing. My wife is pregnant, and I'm gaining weight like nobody's business." Sarcasm, except I really am gaining a little weight. Our next story is a little sick story. Ever since the fate slapped me with early onset menopause, I've been having weird, strong reactions to smells. Odors that others won't even be aware of will make me gag. It's not fun, but if it's an entirely me problem, I don't police the people around me. I just try to avoid the more obnoxious smells when I can. So I got on an elevator in one of those high-rise multi-office buildings. A couple floors down, a woman joins me. I am instantly hit with a wave of nausea. I know I won't make it 20 more floors to the lobby. So I hit the next floor's button, and as soon as the doors open...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well... HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I bolt out of there. I take a few deep breaths and catch the next lift down. Well, apparently the woman took offense at my actions because when I got to the lobby, she was waiting to tell me just that. I explained that I was not feeling well and that my only choice was to be sick in front of her or leave. I did not imply this was because of her. She took it personally anyway. She took a step forward, at which point her perfume filled my nostrils again. I instinctively took a step back. Wrong move. She starts berating me for being rude. I tell her, "Lady, I'm having a reaction to your perfume. Please do not invade my personal space." She claps back, "I'm not wearing perfume." I mean, whatever. Soap, shampoo, I'm not here to debate the finer details of her hygiene. I just don't want to smell it. At this point, she's so close to me, my eyes are watering, my mouth is filling up with saliva. I can feel my stomach acids crawling up my esophagus. I know that if I just let go, I'm going to feel so much better. So I did. I let it rip. I could have turned my head to hit the floor, but I didn't. I hurled all over her chest. I wiped my mouth and walked away, left her standing there with my half-digested lunch oozing down between her cleavage. Well, I have to say, that was pretty freaking gross. But really, there was nothing else OP could do. They warned them, and sure, they could have turned and hit the floor or whatever. But if anything, I would deem this as like self-defense. Our next story is, you are a terrible roommate. Let me help you. My freshman year of college, I was placed with a highly incompatible roommate. Here is my elaborate and extremely petty revenge story, and how I got to move out. The players, all 17 to 18 year old female, all living on the same floor except for Dasha. There's me, Colleen, my roommate, Karen, who's friends with Colleen, roommates with Svetlana. Svetlana, Karen's roommate and close friends with Dasha. Dasha, who lived on a different floor with a truly awful roommate. Jane, who's my friend and future roommate. Bonnie, who's Jane's roommate with mental health struggles. The struggles? Me and Colleen are very incompatible and she was very crappy about it. Karen and Svetlana had no problems living together at all. Bonnie's mental health issues meant that it was not the right time for her to share a room with anyone. Dasha's roommate was having similar struggles, but refused to recognize them as such, and blamed Dasha for absolutely wild and untrue things. The revenge? I knew from day one that I did not like living with Colleen, but got close to others on my hall quickly and wanted to stay. So while I was cordial to her, things got increasingly volatile, and the thing that broke me was when I went to bed one night at around 10 and she, Karen, and another friend busted into our room, turned on the lights, and started having a dance party with the sole purpose of laughing at me and telling me I was a loser for sleeping. It was the weirdest crap. But the following day, Jane told me Bonnie was moving to a psycho single and she was worried about who would move in. I asked if she was cool if it was me. We spoke with the RA and I started packing. Colleen was furious, and that is when the plan came to me, fully baked. She and Karen were sitting in her bed watching me pack and talking loudly about me and guessing about the psycho who would end up living there when I said, "You know, Karen can move in and be your roommate. Like, just go talk to the RA and have her move in. Then Dasha could move in with Svetlana. We all knew about Dasha's issues, and you don't have to live with a rando." I knew Karen was a people pleaser, and though she already had doubts about Colleen, she wouldn't be able to resist helping Dasha and making Colleen happy. They spoke with the RA, and by that evening, Dasha was living with Svetlana, Karen and Colleen were together, and Jane and I had our room. Karen realized what a nightmare Colleen was and spent the rest of the year miserable, but was too much of a people pleaser to say anything about it. During graduation week, we did a floor reunion, and Karen brought up the day we shuffled the rooms and the unexpected consequences. I told her they were not unexpected at all. I was just going to move in with Jane and let whatever happen. But you and Colleen were sitting there being such benches that I decided you deserved each other. I knew that if I told you you could move in while you were in front of Colleen, you would have to do it, and I knew you would hate it. So, I did. The look on her face was so classic, like she had spent weeks ganging up on me and being mean to me in my own room, and thought that I'd made that recommendation out of the goodness of my heart? Bench, please. Unexpected consequences? I would say this was a match made in heaven. I mean, you had these two people being absolutely awful to you, and they did deserve each other. They deserved to be miserable together. Upset Pachyderm wrote, "Perfect. I'm not a bully, but was frequently bullied as a child. Poor, different, etc. If I had been a bully, I would never assume good intentions from anyone I'd bullied. That would make me not just a bully, but a stupid one at that." Our next story is, best revenge is 4 years of good parking? This situation was just desperation at first, but it sure felt like revenge by the end. Once upon a time, I was a sophomore, living in an awful college-owned apartment building on the edge of campus. This was a private school and most of my classmates were wealthy, but I was not. I was working 3 jobs and taking full-time classes. I managed to buy a car over the summer, but right before the semester started, it broke down. I had no money for the repairs, but I did know a local mechanic who kind of took pity on me and let me keep the car in his lot while I scraped together enough money, so at least I didn't have to pay to park or store it. It took me until early November to get the money together, so most of the semester. When the car was finally repaired, I went to the public safety office at school and asked about registering my car so I could get a spot in my building's lot and a permit to park on campus. I expected this to be straightforward. Unfortunately, this was instead the beginning of a gigantic mess. The guy at the desk said he couldn't give me a spot in my own lot because it was full, but he could give me one in the lot for an off-campus complex that's like 30 minutes walk from my apartment in the opposite direction of all of my classes. I said thanks but no thanks, made a mental note to figure out my own parking solution closer to home, and moved on to the next thing, a permit to park on campus for classes. But this was a non-starter. Without a residential parking spot, I could only register to park in the commuter lots on campus. The commuter permit was like 5 times as expensive as the residential ones. I guess because the lots were bigger and closer to buildings, so while this guy clearly thought he was doing me a favor by offering a residential student a commuter permit, there was just no way I could afford it. In desperation, I was like, okay, give me the off-campus spot 30 minutes away so I can at least get a residential campus permit for classes. We start down that path and he quotes me the cost. It's well over twice what I expected. I'm like, what? Turns out, because it was so late in the semester, any new cars had to be registered for the next semester too, paid up front. Also, I had to pay the permit fees for the entire fall semester. Nothing was prorated. And of course, registering a car late had a fee attached to it that grew for each week of the semester that had already passed, as a penalty for supposedly parking without a permit prior to registering. This could only be waived if you could prove that you'd just bought the car, which of course I hadn't. On top of all that, registering a parking spot for a building you didn't live in also had a fee attached to it. And last but not least, in order to put myself on a waiting list to possibly get a spot in my own lot for the spring semester, there was yet another fee. At this point, I'm beaten down by the impossible, exorbitant, expensive maze of nonsense. I just hand the blank paperwork back to the guy and walk out in a daze, almost in tears. I'm already late for class, so I'm like, screw this. I drive to the building and park right in front of the door in a commuter lot. I assume I'll eat the cost of a ticket. At this moment, I don't care. But nothing happens. Still feeling tired and defeated by life, I drive to my apartment building after class and park in a guest spot. Again, the next morning, no ticket. No, nothing. So I decided to basically just ride this out, buying myself time to work out a better solution. About a week later, I got my first campus parking ticket. Having never had a car on campus until recently, I'd also never seen these tickets before. Right at the top in bold letters, students, staff, and faculty. Return payment for this ticket to XYZ office. If you are a guest, please ignore this ticket and enjoy your visit. I had a sudden thought. No one knew this car was mine. I had never registered it with the school, so it wasn't in their system. Maybe I could get by pretending this car belonged to a guest for the rest of the semester. It was only a couple of weeks. In the final days of the fall semester, I learned that after 5 unpaid tickets to the same car, they run something to figure out who the owner is. Busted. I got a letter in my campus mailbox reprimanding me for having unpaid tickets. I was kicking myself, assuming I'd stupidly caused additional expensive grief, deeply regretting the dumb things I did because I was broke. However, pushing through the panic, I read to the end. Interesting. This was clearly a form letter, which assumed the student car in question was actually registered on campus. Turns out the penalty for having 5 tickets is that those tickets convert into a 2-week permit suspension. Or you can pay a fine to end the suspension sooner, so 5 tickets automatically convert into a suspension of a permit I don't have anyway. If I park a car while suspended, I get a ticket. So what this letter is telling me is that I'm essentially just in the same situation I was already in regardless. I'll be ticketed if I park in campus. Except that also, I no longer owe the school money for these tickets. I just need to serve out this suspension of my non-existent permit. I accept their terms. A couple weeks later, I'm getting ready for spring semester. Still basically broke. But I scrabble together enough for the parking spot and the permit. I go down to public safety to register my car like a good citizen. However, I learn that because my registration was suspended last semester, I'm now at the end of the list for a spot in my lot. So there's no way I'm getting one. Also, this is now the point where the unpaid tickets do actually have to be paid as a fee, which has to be cleared to activate my registration. If I can't pay that by the start of the semester, I'll also start incurring the other weekly fee for registering late. I'm basically going through round 2 of the same terrible runaround from last time. I feel like I'm losing my mind, and I'm still traumatized from the first experience. Everyone else in that office was just waltzing in with their parents, talking for 2 seconds and swiping a credit card, while I'm over here on my own feeling poor and humiliated and alone in the world. I can just barely afford this registration to begin with, and these fees put it totally out of reach. So once again, I walk out without it, super ticked about how expensive and annoying they're making this. I realize these fees are just going to continue snowballing, and I'm not going to be able to register my car this semester either. I accept my lot in life. So begins the cycle, which continued for the rest of my college career, of me not registering my car and just parking wherever the heck I want. Eventually, I rack up 5 tickets, I get the form letter, the tickets are converted to a fee, applied to the cost of my next semester's registration, and my non-existent parking permit gets suspended. After 3 suspensions, they suspend my permit for the rest of the semester. Strangely and fortunately for me, as long as I never register my car, it seems I never have to pay the tickets or the fees they turn into. Towards the end of the fall semester of my senior year, shortly after my imaginary permit was given its 3rd semester-long suspension, I received a new letter. This one says I'm prohibited from registering a car on campus the following semester because I have too many suspensions. So, as usual, I don't. And I continue parking wherever, whenever. About 3 weeks before graduation, I got a final letter. This one delivered on my car with a ticket. It is not a form letter. It has, "Please just stop," handwritten on the outside of the envelope. It says I'm banned from ever registering a car on campus in any future semesters because of an egregious number of parking violations. I laugh and then graduate and live happily ever after. Never ever paid a cent. OP never being able to even just register their car and therefore allowing them to get away with this whole thing is the epitome of task failed successfully. DH Canada wrote, "That is just absolutely hilarious. Best story about the absolute inanity of bureaucratic rules I think I've ever read. We forbid you from getting the permit. We've made it impossible for you to get in the first place. But go ahead and do the thing you need a permit for without paying any fees and zero consequences." Gold. But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another absolutely awesome revenge story, check out that video on the left. Or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.